Pat McCorkle founded the company. I was actually an actor for 20 years, and I was able to make a living at acting. Actually, Pat McCorkle cast me in a lot of productions. She did, and then she cast me as her husband. We've been married 25 years. Thank you, yes. It's working out well. What's that? It's a good role. It's a non-equity role, but there are a lot of benefits.
Welcome to Casting Actors Cast, insights for actors on acting in the business of show. Casting director Jeffrey Dreisbach takes you behind the scenes and reveals secrets to a successful acting career. You can find out more on the web at castingactorscast.com. Please enjoy, like, and share Casting Actors Cast. Now, here's your host, Jeffrey Dreisbach.
Auditions. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Part 1. So, there you are, in the waiting room of a casting office, or let's say backstage at a theater, and you've worked on the role, you've worked on it at home really, really diligently, and now you are ready. So you go to the audition, wherever that may be, you show up, and you walk into the room, and there's a bunch of other actors, and they're not running quite on time like you were hoping they would, so now you have to sit there for a few minutes and wait. What are you thinking about? You thinking about the audition? On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you when you're waiting there to be called into the audition? And then you go into the audition, and gosh, there's four people sitting there. There's the writer, the producer, the director. Now the casting director walks in. There's also a reader sitting there. So you've got like four or five people wanting to kind of just scope you out. So where's your nervous level now? You see, as a talent and as a creative person, it's really easy to let the imagination go wild. And when we do that, we end up sabotaging ourselves when we go into the audition room. We end up talking to ourselves, not talking ourselves off the ledge necessarily, but the mere act of walking into the room can display a level of energy that can really help or hurt you in the audition. And that's what I really want to talk to you about today. Some of the things that you can do to help yourself out of those nervous moments when you have an audition and you don't quite feel as if it's a welcoming environment. And I was an actor for 20 years, and I did quite a bit for over those 20 years. I worked as an actor for 20 years. I was able to make a living at it. And I don't mean to sound overly boastful here, but I was able to do a lot of commercials and tons of voiceover work. I also did two Broadway shows, the last one being I was the original cast of A Few Good Men on Broadway, and we did over 500 performances. Right after that 20-year career, I ended up, through a bizarre series of circumstances, becoming an executive director of a radio and television broadcast training school. And at the time, it was the oldest and largest training program for radio and television broadcasting. And so I focused and concentrated all my efforts on developing talent, learning not only the technology part, so I'm kind of geeked out, but I also was able to really develop some interesting concepts and some ideas for talent just learning how to develop their skill set and their own innate and creative abilities while on the air, whether it was in front of the camera doing news or weather, or whether it was on the radio doing news or weather. So I wanted to really branch out after that. I did that for 12 years, and gosh, I just didn't quite know what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, and so I kind of fell into this job at McCorkle Casting. Now, if you know anything about McCorkle Casting, and I invite you to check it out on www.mccorklecasting.com so you can get a look at the kind of work that we've done. Pat McCorkle founded the company in 1979, and she's been an amazing force in the New York theater and entertainment scene. Well over 50-plus Broadway shows, 55 or 60 off-Broadway shows, 65-plus television projects, 50 or 60 feature films, And it's a small office. There are only four of us in our office, and so you can imagine how busy we are. In addition to all of the projects that we're working on currently, we are also the casting directors for a lot of the larger regional theaters across the country. So we do theater work as well. We don't do commercials now. We don't do voiceover work necessarily. Every once in a while we'll get an interesting gig, but that's not really what we're about. We're really in a position now to take on projects that are really interesting, that are well written, that really have something to them, something to share with the public. So that's what kind of floats our boat. And I really have enjoyed working with Pat these past 8 years. And with so much amazing talent out there, I have a real positive message, I think. And I think that's why I really wanted to do this podcast, is that you hear all the negative stuff about how hard it is to be an actor, whether you make it or not, and competition, and it just goes on and on and on. And I am here as a casting director, former actor, telling you that this is an excellent time to be an actor. It really is. Right now, for example, in New York City, there are 20-some television shows right now that are shooting. The Broadway grosses last year were the biggest in Broadway history. With the advent of this new technology that's going on out there, actors are able to write and produce their own content. And so we're seeing all kinds of really interesting product being developed out there. And it's always amazing to me because the audition is primarily the only way in which an actor can show us, the casting people, the writer, the director, how you're going to play the part. And so there really isn't a better way to do it. Now, having an actor who's got some stage chops or some film chops and knows how what they're doing, and we know their work really well, we can pretty much make the decision that they might be great for the particular role that we're looking for. On the other hand, there are a lot of actors out there. They're looking for a break. They're looking for a shot. And we are there to help facilitate that. But it has to go through the gatekeeper, which is the audition. And I can certainly tell you firsthand how I used to sabotage myself. First of all, it's important to understand when we do audition that when we get nervous, and I can't really imagine anyone not getting nervous, it's really important to understand that this is just a matter of what's called the fight or flight response. And it's a physiological change that happens to you when you're confronted by something that you have no control over. For example, when you walk into a room and you've never been there before and you're meeting people for the first time and you know that they're there to evaluate you, then that becomes a really challenging trigger for that fight or flight response. So what happens when you get nervous? Well, a lot of things. First of all, the blood that's in your body rushes from your stomach to your arms and your legs, curious enough. The reason for that is I think you should think of early caveman. Let's take this example. He wakes up in the morning, this early caveman, and he scratches and itches, and he kind of goes out into the wilderness, and he's looking for food. If he can find food, then it's awesome because he can live another day and survival of the species. On the other hand, if he comes across a great big hairy mastodon, a woolly mammoth, then it might step on him, and then we have squished caveman. So that's not really a good thing. But these physical changes happen to him so that he can either pick up a rock and hit the mastodon over the head, or he can run like hell and get out of there. So those are the caveman's choices when it comes to the fight or flight response. And so his body releases a chemical called adrenaline, secreted by the pituitary gland that courses through his body to give them that spurt of energy. Blood leaves the head very, very quickly. Again, the blood supply to the arms and legs becomes really, really important for that caveman to either fight or flee. And the heart rate increases. We get all kinds of responses. And so that's why now when we're confronted by something, and I'm not trying to say that casting directors are big mastodons. I'm not really trying to say that. But I am trying to say that when we're confronted by something that we're not familiar with, that we're not comfortable with, it really is amazing that our body still kicks into this physiological shift, this physiological change. So what can you do about that? Well, there's a couple of things that I can tell you about. One of them is, and it's going to sound maybe silly to you, I don't know, but it's called square breathing. And it's a way of breathing, and really the whole point of the square breathing exercise is so that you can take back control, a sense of control, because it's the loss of control that drives us nervous. And so taking back a sense of control, it really becomes useful. And the way that I can describe it to you is simply inhaling on a count of four through your nose. You hold that breath for a four count. And then you exhale through your mouth on a four count. And you do that slowly and steadily, the nice slow four count each. You do that four times. You don't want to do that more than four times. We don't need fainting actors before coming into an audition. But the square breathing exercise is really helpful, and I encourage you to check it out. So square breathing is one of those things that really becomes helpful. Also, just to share this with you, warm, moist air passing over the vocal cords is a really great way to give yourself a vocal warm-up as well. And so that nervousness might dissipate a little bit. But the other thing I think it's important to know is that you should not try to suppress your nervousness in an audition. The more that you tell yourself, oh my gosh, I'm definitely not going to get nervous. Oh my God, I'm getting nervous. No, I'm not going to get nervous. The minute you start having that inner dialogue, that inner fight about nerves, is the minute that that nervousness increases. It's one of those weird things. The better choice, I think, is for you to simply say, oh, there are those nerves again. I'm feeling my heart rate. I did my square breathing. It's only normal. And if possible, you can focus your energy into the work. It's about focusing in the work that you're going to find some relief, because your focus and concentration will be on the character that you're playing and your presentation of the role, how you're going to play the role. I think that might be a best case scenario for delivering an audition that you're going to be happy with. I've never seen desperation win an actor a job in an audition. Desperation is one of those things that, because the role is so juicy and you really want it so badly, that it really does a number on you that really isn't useful to you at all as an actor. So how do you say that I'm not going to be desperate about this? My feeling and my suggestion is that you do as much work as you can on the role, and then you embrace the amount of work that you've done on it. You feel good about the choices that you've made. And when you walk into the audition room, your subtext has to be, I can't wait to show you how I'm going to play this part. Boy, what a great subtext when walking into an audition room. In other words, that's going to give you a level of confidence and a specific focus on showing us exactly what you're going to do when you audition. Understand that the casting director's role is more like a personal shopper. We're there to help find the producer the right fit, color, the right style for that particular production. So it's very valuable for the actor to come in showing their particular model, their particular way of presenting their work. And I think that really is a valuable tool for you as you proceed in going to auditions. So what do you have control over and what do you don't have control over? I guess that's really the most important thing to share. You do have control over the amount of work you do to an audition before you show up. You do have control over how you make choices for the character that you're about to play. That you have control over. But no matter what, when you walk into that audition room, you may be this fantastic, beautiful, shiny apple. Forgive the pun, but it's a delicious apple. It's something that you worked hard on, shining. It's full of flavor. It's got beautiful color variations. All of the things that that perfect apple you are is there. And guess what? You may not know that the producer or the director is looking for an orange. So no matter how fantastic your apple is, the orange is what we're looking for. And you might not know that. You have no way of knowing that sometimes, more often than not. So what can you do with that information? All you can do is show me your shiny apple. Do the best that you can, because the feedback you will get is another audition from the same office or from the same people that are in charge. That's the best feedback. Don't listen to the director or the producer when you leave the room saying, "That was a great job. Thank you so much. That was fantastic." You know, directors have a habit of doing that just to make you feel good in the moment. It's really what it's doing is making them feel good. So that whether they want you to come back or not in a callback, it's not relevant. They'll just say the same thing to all of the actors. But the actor leaves the room thinking, "Oh my God, he really liked me or she really liked me. That's fantastic. I think I'm going to get a callback." And then, of course, you're disappointed or surprised when it doesn't happen. So the best thing that you can do for yourself is A, thank the people behind the desk or behind the table or wherever it is, and exit the audition and feel good about your work. I can tell you that there were so many times when I would leave an audition and get in the elevator and then re-audition on the way home. You know what I mean? I mean, in other words, I would wonder why all of that stuff that I had worked on, all of that preparation, all of the time spent with a scene partner or whatever it was that I really got into the meat of what the audition was all about, only to find out in the elevator on the way home that everything I had worked towards, everything I had rehearsed, everything I had done didn't quite work. And why didn't it? All of that stuff I rehearsed, I wasn't able to do in the audition. Why not? It's almost like the brain shut down. And now you're just sort of flying by the seat of your pants in the audition. It took me a little while, but eventually, and this is what I would like to share with you today, eventually I learned that if I could find a way to make the audition a creative endeavor, in other words, finding something creative during the audition, then I had won. Then I had done a really good job. Then I had made my point. Making creative choices, making really good choices, and then leaving the audition meant that I gave it the office. And so I don't have to beat myself up mercilessly over the reason why I didn't feel it was creative. In other words, I didn't try to recreate what I had rehearsed in an audition. What I tried to do was feel confident about the choices that I had worked on, and then, you know, let's see what happens. It's like one of those really great rehearsals that you might have. You know, you feel really great. The director might keep throwing a note at you. You come up with something new and interesting. There's a really positive reaction. That feels really, really good. And that's kind of part of the creative endeavor. If you can bring that energy into the audition, find something creative or interesting. That's the focus. That's the goal. Then you've won the day. Then no matter what they're looking for, they're going to be impressed by somebody who's making committed choices for the character that they're going to play. After all, an audition is just a way of you inhabiting the character, using your best technique, using your best training, using your own life experience, and showing us what that is. You know, I'm going to leave you with this, a couple of thoughts here. One is that we don't try to use the word typecasting in our office. Now, you know what typecasting is, obviously. It's like blonde hair, blue-eyed. Or we're looking for somebody fat and happy. We're looking for somebody short and silly. We're looking for somebody tall, dark, and handsome, or blonde and not so bright, or whatever the silly typecasting models are, or that you might have heard of or thought of. In truth, the word typecasting is such a limiting thing for actors to have to endure. And so I had an actor a couple of weeks ago ask me, "Okay, what's my type?" And I just stopped cold because I don't use that word. Here's what I discovered over time, both as an actor and now as a casting director for over 8 years, and a teacher and as executive of a training school for radio and television. Here's what I learned. It's your uniqueness that gets you the job, not your sameness. It's your unique self that inhabits the character you're playing in an audition that can really impress the people on the other side of the table. So feel creative during the audition. Try some square breathing. And I'm really, really excited that you were able to join us. And I hope you join us again, because this is so much fun for me to do. It gives me an opportunity to give back something that was given to me when I was starting out. And honestly, I'm giving away a lot of stuff that wasn't given to me when I started out. So maybe and hopefully you'll be able to find it useful. So I'm Jeffrey Dreisbach with Casting Actors Cast.
You've been listening to Casting Actors Cast with host Jeffrey Dreisbach. Find out more at castingactorscast.com and let us know if you would like us to cover topics you're interested in. Thanks for listening. I'm Matthew DeSarno.